Save big on your next project right now at Menards. From mold and mildew stains and hard-to-stick surfaces, preparing your paint project has never been easier than with Bullseye 123. Zinsser Bullseye 123 Primer is an all-purpose, high-performance, water-based primer for interior and exterior residential, commercial, and industrial applications. Save big on Bullseye 123 Primer. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Matter Private Network.
On News Talk.
Minister Eamon Ryan has said that a cut to the national herd will be needed for Ireland to meet its climate change targets. In an interview at the weekend, the Environment Minister said that other sectors would have to make larger cuts if the agriculture sector does not agree to a 30% cut in CO2 emissions and methane emissions by 2030. So is it time to bite the bullet and cut the national herd? Well, we're joined in studio by Tim Cullinan, President of the Irish Farmers Association, and on the line by Councillor Lorna Bogue, who's a Cork City Councillor and leader of An Rath a Glas. Good morning and welcome to you both. Tim, first of all, what do you say to the minister's dire warning, I suppose, to your farmers? The herd has got to be cut.
I was amazed and shocked with the minister's comments yesterday, you know, because we've all been dealing with reducing emissions from the livestock herd, and it's totally at odds with, you know, what we've been hearing from the Taoiseach and the Tánaiste. Both individuals are clearly saying, you know, we can do this without cutting the national herd, and that has been our view from the start. And you know, Pat, like, farmers have been working substantially hard on this issue. We acknowledge, you know, we have to deal with climate change. I think that's critically important. And you know,
but can we also reduce the emissions? You say you have plans to reduce emissions. Can you do it without actually cutting numbers?
We can indeed, and I mean, already farmers are doing quite a lot on their farms. You know, we've accepted we'll reduce emissions to 22%. And if we look at it, our national herd today is at the figures it was at in the 1990s. And as I say, farmers have been doing quite a lot already. We say, adhering to the MAC curve that Chagas produced, and you know, we're also looking at what's happening in science, and there's an awful lot happening in science.
And I'll talk to you about the scientific technologies that might help to reduce the emissions. But how do we know? I mean, we don't have a meter strapped to an animal's snout or rear end to find out what is going there. So isn't the calculation done simply on numbers? Isn't that how they tend to do it?
Yeah, but we would have to look at the numbers, and I would have to say some of the numbers are flawed. And we have both Chagas and ICBF are monitoring and measuring the methane coming from a substantial number of cows. And today it's clearly identifying that bovines eating grass and producing beef and dairy from grass can produce up to 30% less methane. So I think that's very, very important.
Compared to what? Compared to shed raised cattle?
Exactly, yeah. And if we look at it in the government's own act, it's very clear the four elements of that act that the government say we shall have regard for. And the first one is the social and economic impact on all of this in rural Ireland. The biogenic methane, again, that's back to how that is treated. That can have a substantial differential. And obviously carbon leakage. Like, we have the best area in the world to produce dairy here in Ireland. You know, growing grass, cows outgrazing grass, producing dairy produce, and the fifth most efficient in beef. And is it far better that we produce the food here that's required right around the world than going to countries, you know, where we have to cut down trees and create more emissions? So from that point of view, we're perfectly placed to be part of producing food for a growing population right around the world.
Just to clarify, before I talk to Lorna, is it the case that the calculations, whoever's doing them, the EU or whatever international body might be monitoring all of this for its greenness, that a French beast would be treated exactly the same way as an Irish beast, even though that French beast might be in a shed and the Irish beast would be on pasture land?
Yeah, but the point I'm making is the most efficient way to produce either.
No, what I'm saying is, are we treated the same, even though our guys are doing it, you claim, with 30% less gases than the fella in the shed? Are we treated the same?
Yeah, we are at the moment until 2030, until, you know, there's a review of the Paris Agreement. I think that's very, very important. As I say, we are working on science, not alone us. The New Zealanders are working on this as well. And Miles Allen in Oxford University has done substantial amount of research and work on this topic.
Okay. And now, Lorna Bogue, City Councillor, leader of An Rath a Glas. Good morning, Laura. Lorna.
Morning. How are you getting on, Pat? How are you doing?
Tell us, what is your take on this? The minister saying numbers have to be cut, and Tim is saying, well, no, science and good husbandry and so on will enable us to cut the emissions down to the appropriate level.
Well, there's a part of the term, the national herd, that I don't quite understand, because as far as I knew, the Irish government hasn't engaged in a collectivisation policy or anything like that. So I don't know where this idea that we have a national herd.
No, but it's overall numbers. We could cavil about how it's defined. But the overall numbers of cattle on the landscape, wherever they be, in Kerry or Monaghan, it's got to come down. That's what the minister's saying.
Well, to be honest now, Pat, I'm not in the Green Party anymore. So luckily, I don't have to defend anything that the minister says. So if Eamon Ryan comes out with a comment that makes people annoyed, I can stay from the outside of that organisation that this is something that he is doing on purpose, which is to create division and to set farmers against urban people. And I don't think that that setting of the debate is right. And actually, for me, what this is about is not a moral argument of, oh, farmers should do the right thing or anything like that. What it is about income. Farmers' incomes is actually the important question here. And that is something that, you know, is where the debate should actually be. Because, you know, it's not right for any of us to say that people should have impoverished themselves in order to, you know, do the right thing. Like, people can't be expected to do that. They have to be given the income in order to do the right thing.
Lorna, if the science determines that the national herd, so-called, would have to be cut to reduce the greenhouse gases, you're saying that no farmer should be forced to do this, to make a personal financial sacrifice to save the planet, that farmer, if they are required to do it, should be compensated.
Well, of course. But you see that the thing about it is if you think about the agricultural sector in terms of workers, there are many workers who are on low income and there are many workers who are leaving all the time. I mean, Tim has said that we need to consider the social impact of the agricultural industry. I think we do need to consider the social impact of the agricultural industry, which is that people are leaving it all the time. And if we are looking at this national herd in scare quotes that is in fact owned by private operators, there are more animals all the time, but there are less people who own them. So there's actually something happening here where various different sectors are running ahead of the rest of the pack, and there are people who are being left behind.
What do you make of that, Tim? You know, the idea that you're getting ranchers, not farmers now, more and more animals, fewer and fewer owners.
I suppose, Pat, my clear answer to that is if we look at it, the average number of cows per farm is 80 cows, and that is far from ranchers. So we have not got ranchers here in Ireland. We have family farms. So that's what we model our farming structure on. That is the structure that we use for exporting, that we're exporting 90% of what we produce of an excellent produce right around the world, and there's massive demand for that as well. But I just want to come back to Lorna's point there on compensation. Like the minister had been saying over the weekend as well and over the last week, you know, that we look at other ways of generating farmers' income, like renewable energy. Pat, for years we have put proposal after proposal to the government for farm scale renewable energy, but like we've had no response, and that is fine, but that is long ways down the road, and we all know where we are now with a security of energy supply, and that's another debate for another day, and we absolutely will be part of that and can do a lot in that area. But for now, the critical issue is, you know, there's food required around the world. We are saying that the minister is trying to set a target here of 30% that is unachievable without doing massive destruction. If we were to achieve a 30%, we're talking of a 5 billion cost to this sector. And that figure was borne out by a report by KPMG, which was initiated by the Irish Farmers Journal.
Now, I know Lorna's not here to defend her former colleague in the Green Party. She's now the leader of Unrouth the Gloss. But this comment from Richard in Monaghan: if Ireland ceases production of beef here, as certain people want, the slack will be taken up by less environmentally friendly nations like Argentina, the USA and Brazil. We'll have a poorer farming sector and the world will have the same amount of beef being produced in a more damaging way. That's from Richard. What do you say to that, Lorna?
Well, that's mediated by trade deals, Pat. And to be fair to the IFA, they've been very harsh on TTIP and CETA. But parts of CETA have already been agreed to, which is bringing the high-end beef into the European market and displacing beef farmers in Ireland. I mean, like, you know, you have to think about these things as a food production industry and sector. And as regards, you know, what would happen if we were to change our sector to one that actually pays farmers for the work that they're doing and pays everyone along the supply chain, because of course there's people working in forestry, fisheries, veterinary science graduates. Like all of these people actually have very low salaries. And our entire system seems to be based on people being low paid. I mean, like you go further along the supply chain again, and of course the processors are running it. The processors are running what prices farmers are getting, and farmers are price takers. They're not price makers.
All right. Here. Finally, Tim, from you, that business that the supermarkets or the processors determine what the farmer's income really?
Look, that's been the case for a substantial number of years. But look, I would have to say Minister for Agriculture is bringing legislation through the Dáil to introduce a food regulator, you know, which hopefully will bring some balance to that debate. But I just finally, I am very concerned with Minister Ryan at the moment. The position that he's taken now, to me, is not it's in complete non-contrast to the position we are hearing from the Taoiseach and the Tánaiste. And I question, you know, is Minister Ryan, you know, is he on running his own agenda here at the moment? I beg that question.
Tim Cullinan, President of the Irish Farmers Association, and Lorna Bogue, the leader of Unruh at the Glass. Thank you both very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
Saving money on your next outdoor project at Menards. Easily transport mulch, stone, and other materials with the Masterforce heavy-duty steel wheelbarrow. Maneuver over any terrain with a 16-inch tire that never goes flat. Saving money on this and all other Masterforce tools exclusively at Menards. Visit us in-store and at Menards.com and see all the great deals going on now in our weekly flyer. Save.